So quick to choose the path walked by the righteous, so you can go and nest among the weak. The innocent observers will refuse to find the lie within, renew the disappointment of the meek.
Chapter 13. Styles is trudging up the steps of the Hale house when he feels, more than sees, Peter start to hang back. He half turns as Peter looks off into the forest and says, "Well, I'll be..."
"Peter, will you just come inside, please?"
Styles groans.
"You were talking about wanting to stay, to protect Laura. What are you gonna do? Live in the woods? Come on, just rip the goddamn band-aid off."
Peter growls at him, but it's a playful growl. And after a few moments, he follows Styles inside.
"Hey, it's us,"
Styles shouts. And a few moments later, Derek jogs into the hallway. Styles leans into his embrace, feeling tired in more ways than one. He wonders if he can talk Derek into a few hours of cuddling on the sofa, or in bed, or literally anywhere he might be able to stay horizontal for a while, despite the fact that it's barely even noon. Before he can say anything about that, Laura comes into the front hallway. "Hey, Styles," she says, her tone considerably looser than it was a few days previous. She sees Peter and her expression tightens, but she nods at him and says, "Uncle Peter." Peter is staring at her. Styles has no idea why. Peter has just gone completely still, looking at his niece with an expression that seems like a dozen emotions mixed together. He's about to ask what's up when Peter says,
"Laura, you're pregnant."
"Yeah, I know that," Laura says, rolling her eyes. "What's your point?" Peter still stares, like Laura hasn't heard a word he just said and she has no idea what the significance of his words are.
"Laura, you're going to have a baby. A baby."
He practically chokes on the word. "I know," Laura repeats, although now she seems more confused than anything else.
"But..."
Peter's mouth works soundlessly for a few moments before tears start down his cheeks. He reaches out, hands hovering over Laura's stomach, but not actually touching it.
"I didn't know.
I didn't figure you would care," Laura says. "I mean, you didn't care about Talia's children. Why would her grandchildren matter to you?" Seeing that Peter is struck absolutely speechless, a first in Styles' remembered history, he hastens to intervene before Peter can break down completely. He walks over and grasps Peter's wrist, lowering his arm, which is still hovering awkwardly in midair. Then he gives a comforting squeeze.
"How far along are you?"
he asks, since he certainly hadn't noticed. He assumes that Peter can either smell the hormonal difference or hear the heartbeat.
10 weeks.
"Nice! Who's the dad?"
"Jordan."
Laura frowns at him. "Didn't you meet..." "Oh, no, I guess he wasn't there the other night. He was working the late shift. He's my boyfriend."
"And he's, like, here for this?"
Styles asks, gesturing to Laura's stomach.
"I mean, he's gonna stick around and support you and everything?"
"Yeah." Laura's frown turns to a scowl, which Styles figures is fair. It was a pretty rude question. But he thinks hearing that the father is involved might help Peter.
"I mean, he's not just some one-night stand. We've been together almost 2 years. He's actually..."
She flushes, slightly pink. "He's proposed twice, but I've said no both times because, you know, I've got some issues about that sort of thing."
"He's here now, if you want to meet him."
Yes, I... Peter swallows convulsively.
"I'd like that."
"This way," Laura says, gesturing for them to follow. They're in the rec room. Styles hadn't seen the rec room the last time he was there, and his jaw sags when he walks in. There's a pool table and an air hockey table,
along with an enormous television and two huge sofas, one of which is set up on a riser so people in the back can see. Dude, this room is amazing. You've been holding out on me, Dare. I need to kick your ass at pool, like, now. Derek gives a quiet snort as Laura walks over to the one man in the room Styles doesn't recognize and curls her hand around his forearm. He and Jackson are playing pool, and he looks up when Laura approaches. He's got short, neatly trimmed hair and an open, friendly face. He's also got a warm, infectious smile that tugs at his lips as soon as she touches his arm. Jordan, my Uncle Peter, and his son Styles, Laura says. And Styles himself smiles a bit at that. Acceptance she hadn't shown him before. Good to meet you, Jordan says, shaking Peter's hand, then Styles. Nice tats. Magic? Styles nods. They help boost my spells. Nice, Jordan says. Peter is blinking at him in some surprise. You're human.
Yeah, Jordan says. Your point?
Just surprised. Most people in the pack want the bite.
Laura told me that there was a 2% chance of fatal rejection, Jordan says and shakes his head. It's a small risk, but not small enough. I can't protect anyone if I'm dead. And I'm fully capable without it.
Are you?
Peter asks. Jordan shows off a tattoo of his own, of the army insignia. Army strong. Styles gives a snort of laughter, and Laura quietly laughs too. I did 2 tours, Jordan continues, working with the hazardous device team before an explosion nearly killed me. Came back here to do my rehab, ended up in Beacon Hills. I don't have the teeth and claws, but I like to think I can take care of myself.
He can, Derek puts in, and then adds to Peter. And you, of all people, should know how dangerous a human can be.
True, Peter says, relaxing a little. He takes a deep breath and tries to steady himself out.
You're going to have a baby, Laura.
You keep saying that like I don't know what being pregnant means.
Laura says.
But this time, when Peter's hands twitch towards her, she takes them in her own and presses them against her abdomen. Peter gives a little shudder when he feels the baby's heartbeat through his fingers and chokes back a sob. Laura wraps her arms around him, holding him tightly. Seeing that everything is in good hands, Styles tugs on Derek's wrist and then tilts his head towards the room's exit. Derek gives a little nod, then squeezes Laura's shoulder before they depart.
You look worn out, he says.
I did a lot of magic earlier, Styles says, and sighs. We keep getting close, but then missing her.
Derek nods.
Sit down. I'll cook you something.
You're the best.
Styles sinks into a chair while Derek opens the refrigerator and pulls out a carton of eggs.
You didn't tell me Laura was pregnant. Hell, you didn't tell me she had a boyfriend.
I wasn't sure how you'd feel about it. Hell, I wasn't sure how I feel about it.
Derek cracks 3 eggs into a bowl and starts to whisk them with a fork. Then he turns back to the refrigerator.
But mostly I didn't say anything because I knew that as soon as Peter found out, you wouldn't be able to pry him off Laura's side with a crowbar. And I didn't want this to get in the way of you and Peter's thing.
Styles nods a little.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's okay, though. Peter wanting to stay here.
Do you want to stay here?
Derek emerges from the refrigerator with a bag of shredded cheese and one of ham from the deli.
Maybe. I don't know.
Styles shakes his head.
I just don't know.
Derek looks over at him, then says,
you know that's okay too, right? Like you told me back then, it's okay if you don't know what you want to do, if you aren't ready to have a home yet.
Yeah, thanks.
Styles manages a wan smile, then says,
do you want me to stay?
Derek's quiet for a moment as he butters a pan and sets it on the stove. He's quiet for another moment, watching the butter start to melt as the pan warms up.
For so long, I thought that someone finding out about me and Kate would just make the entire world crumble down around me. I honestly didn't think I would survive that day. I don't know if I believe you about the fact that it wasn't my fault. I don't know if I'll ever believe that. But it means the world to me that you believe that. So, yeah, Styles, I want you to stay. If you're ready, if you want to stay, if you want to have a home and a family again, I want that too. If you want to keep moving around, I'll go with you, if you want me to. If you want to keep moving around on your own, that's okay too. Styles snuffles a little, realizing that he's crying. He stands up and wraps his arms around Derek from behind, resting his face against Derek's shoulder while he pours the eggs into the pan. Derek lets him hang on, doesn't make a big deal out of it until he's finished cooking. Then he sets down the plate of scrambled eggs and says, "Come on, you need to eat. Start on that and I'll make you some toast. Rye, okay?"
"Yeah," Style says, digging in. "So, you said Jordan had a late shift the other day? What does he do?"
Derek gives him a slight smile and says, "He's a sheriff's deputy, as it happens."
"Nice," Style says, his mouth full. "Always good to have an in with the law."
Derek gives a snort of laughter and puts the bread in the toaster. He tells Styles about putting the pack together, meeting the betas, Jordan clearly being head over heels for Laura the minute he met her. He's never talked about it much before, but Styles finds that he likes listening to the stories about how all the pack members are so different. He yawns as he finishes eating, suddenly feeling warmly, beautifully tired. He's only half aware as Derek picks him up and carries him up the stairs, and he falls asleep with his face pressed against Derek's chest. Styles feels a lot better after his nap. He and Derek shoot some pool with Boyd and Isaac, and they start talking about what they're going to make for dinner. Boyd says that he has some steaks and he was just going to grill. "Plain?" Styles says, and Boyd shrugs.
"Dude, no. I know the most amazing whiskey marinade. Let me take a crack at him."
"Whatever you say," Boyd says, looking more amused than anything else.
A few minutes later, while Styles is in the kitchen, mixing the whiskey with soy sauce, he sees Peter come in. He twists a chair around so he's sitting on it backwards, facing Styles at the counter.
"Sorry about earlier."
Styles shrugs.
"You were upset. I get it."
Peter nods.
"I know we weren't going to talk about what comes next until after Kate is dead, but this changes things."
"Not really," Styles says. "You were already thinking you were going to stay here, protect your niece, her pack, unless..."
He stops chopping garlic and looks up.
"Unless Laura being pregnant means you're not going to go after Kate."
"Oh, no," Peter says immediately, much to Styles' relief. "It's a matter of safety, if nothing else. We'll never be safe as long as Kate is out there. Gerard as well. Although I certainly would never have used Beacon Hills as a setting for this if I'd known Laura was pregnant. Well, I didn't. So here we are. So we'll get that taken care of, and then I'll stay. But me staying doesn't mean you have to stay. Maybe it would be better if you don't." He shakes his head. "I'm not sure if staying here to protect Laura would keep her any safer. It might be better if I left, drew the hunters off."
"No way," Styles says. "Even if you did that, even if they come after you, others might come here. Laura and Derek are possible leverage over you, and everyone knows it. No, if you want to protect them, stay here where you can do it."
Peter nods.
"What about you?"
"I don't know," Styles admits. "Part of me wants to stay, wants it more than anything, wants a home and a boyfriend and a normal life, all those things I thought I would never have. But I feel like I can't picture myself in it. A part of me will always be running. Maybe I don't know how to stop.
His voice chokes up a little. "It's like I ran from my dad's death, and if I stop, I finally have to face it.
Which is stupid, right? I've been facing it for years, hitting it dead on. I don't know why not fighting to avenge his death would suddenly make it like I have to look it in the eye.
Because that would mean you've accepted it, Peter says quietly. And more than that, you've accepted that it's okay to move on from it. That it's okay to have a family and a life, even though your father was killed. It's okay to be happy, even though your father was killed.
Stiles wipes his eyes.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, in a weird way.
We're slow learners, you and I, Peter says, and Stiles chokes out a laugh.
But I think we're capable, eventually.
Yeah, Stiles says again.
But it's okay if you don't want to stay, Stiles. You don't need to stay for my sake. So if you want to keep moving around or settle somewhere else, do whatever is right for you. You could do anything, Cricket. I mean that honestly. I've seen the way you learn, the way you put puzzles together. You could do anything you wanted to. Whether it's solve cold cases or go to law school or become the president, you are absolutely unstoppable.
Stiles glances over his shoulder and smiles.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome. Peter stands up and squeezes Stiles' shoulder, runs a hand over his hair and the back of his neck.
We'll talk about it more once this is over, okay?
Stiles nods.
Okay.
A few hours later, they sit down to dinner. The steaks are a big hit, even though Stiles had to fight to get his cooked to a dark pink. Erica made a salad. Lydia bought some fresh bread on the way home from work. Jackson sneers at the drink options and produces two expensive bottles of wine. They sit and talk and eat, and it feels good to Stiles. It feels natural. Derek is a little quieter than usual, clearly still anxious about Kate being out there, but nobody mentions it. Jordan leaves after dinner because he's working night shift. Peter scowls at the door as it swings shut behind him.
He should be here with you at night, protecting you.
I'm fine, Uncle Peter, Laura says with a roll of her eyes. Stiles is thinking about the best way to adjourn from the table, because he's finally feeling in the mood to get Derek's hands all over him. But then the doorbell rings. Peter's frown deepens, and he says,
I'll go see who it is.
Okay, Laura says, and Stiles immediately stands up to go with him, but behind him. He hears Laura say,
No, the rest of you stay here.
Peter glances out the front window.
It's Chris, he says, his voice a little surprised.
He undoes the lock and opens the door. Stiles holds himself ready, just in case. He knows that Peter and Chris have a history, but he doesn't want to be taken off guard.
What is it? Peter greets him.
Hello to you, too.
Chris sounds tired and annoyed.
Do you want to explain to me why my daughter came home and started talking to me about a Hunter justice system, which, by the way, she wants to be in charge of?
A smile curves Peter's mouth, and Stiles barely covers up his chortling.
Probably because your sister promised Scott to leave Stiles alone, as long as he agreed not to help me, and then shot an illusion of him in the head. Oh, and it might have something to do with the fact that Stiles told her you didn't do anything about Sam Stearns.
Actually, I told her that you worked with him and gave him the wolfsbane he used to kill people. Stiles chimes in helpfully.
Chris rubs a hand over his scalp, looking a little pissed but mostly chagrined. He said he needed it for werewolves. It's not like I knew he was too stupid to dose it properly, so it wouldn't kill humans.
Actually, it is, Stiles says. I mean, if I gave you a gun and you shot someone with it by accident, it would be my fault that I didn't make sure you were competent with firearms before giving you one.
Is he always like this? Chris asks dryly.
Pretty much, Peter says, looking at Stiles fondly. But yes, he had a conversation with Scott and Allison about responsibility in the Hunter community, and it seems they took it to heart. I'm actually quite touched. Scott seemed like a genuinely decent human being, and I don't meet many of those in your line of work.
So, what's their plan? Stiles asks. I mean, have they thought about what kind of system they want to put together? Because Scott didn't seem to go in for capital punishment, but frankly, I don't see how it would work without it. Chris gives him a sideways glance and says, "No, it probably wouldn't, and Scott didn't like it when I told him that. But after some thought, he admitted that there's not much of a difference between killing a werewolf who's killed people and killing a human. The difference we've always ascribed is that the werewolf can't be imprisoned, so we figure we would give the hunter the option of imprisonment, and if they chose not to take it, well, we'd have to seek a more permanent solution."
"So you're actually going along with them?" Peter says, eyebrows going up.
"Well, Chris, I'm impressed. It might have taken you 20 years, but you finally got your shit together."
"Nothing's set in stone yet," Chris says. "I think Scott and Allison have some good ideas, but I also think they're painting enormous targets on their backs. They need to think about how to handle some necessary anonymity, and Stiles apparently wants a way to safeguard any apprehending police officers, so there's a lot to think about. And naturally, as soon as I as much mentioned it to my father, he disapproved on every level. Can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs, as he put it."
"If that isn't the dumbest phrase," Stiles says, rolling his eyes. "I mean, I know it's basically trying to say sometimes sacrifices are necessary for the greater good, but omelets are made entirely out of the insides of eggs, and endeavors aren't supposed to be made entirely out of sacrifice. So to me, it reads like, I don't understand how omelets work, and I shouldn't be allowed to create metaphors. But then again, at least he didn't spout off about bad apples."
Chris is shaking his head. "Look, I know there's nothing I can say that will make the two of you not go after Kate, but leave my daughter out of it."
"I had no intention of bringing your daughter into it," Stiles says, offended. "I even specifically shot down that idea when Peter brought it up. Kate's the one who went to find her and Scott and talk them into getting me somewhere by myself so she could shoot me."
With a sigh, Chris says, "Fine, just don't encourage them. At least not until this is over. Deal?" He extends his hand to Peter.
"Deal,"
Peter says, amused, and reaches out to shake it. The instant his hand touches Chris's, his body goes rigid, convulses, and collapses to the floor. It's so sudden that it takes Stiles a moment to figure out what had just happened. That moment is too long. By the time he puts his hand up to use the disrupt spell, Chris's gun is trained on him. "Don't," Chris says, and his voice cracks. "I'm sorry, Stiles. I really am, but she has Allison. I can't."
"Fucking hell,"
Stiles swears, his brain still playing catch-up. Chris must have had some sort of shocking device in his hands.
"Chris, you..."
"Lower your hands," Chris says. "You think I don't see those spells? Put your hands down. You don't have time to activate one before I pull the trigger. I don't want to hurt you, Stiles. Please don't make me." Stiles does as he's told.
"She'll kill Allison anyway. You know she will."
Chris shakes his head. "She'll take her time killing Peter. That'll give me a chance to get to Allison." He keeps his gun trained on Stiles while he leans down and grabs Peter by the wrist, hauling him upwards. "I'm sorry, Stiles," he says again, "but it's my daughter. You would have done the same." His finger tightens on the trigger. Without time to activate a spell, Stiles dives to the side into the other room. By the time he scrambles to his feet, Chris and Peter are gone.